Happy Friday. Happy elite Friday. Very elite Friday here in the
Little Owl. I've been trying to stay away from this, but I stayed up and watched the game last night too, and that was pretty cool. I got to tell you, when they got towards the end, I think Kentucky went up by one or two.
Right.
I think they got up more than one.
I think they were ahead by one at the end, but whatever the case was, whether they tied or got ahead by one, I said to myself, all right, this next possession will tell you. Are they going to hang their heads and just go under or not? And that was interesting to watch them fight the whole way. Now, I kind of like watching games where they score, but I got to tell you, they're developing a reputation as not letting people do that. It was pretty cool to watch.
Defense was amazing.
They haven't let anybody score more than 60 against them in the tournament.
Yeah, you got to love whooping the Blue Bucks too.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Now, you don't need to sound like that about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, I can.
Who runs his mic? Shut that off.
We can. Good luck with that.
It's on his side.
Someone's going to have to vacate the talk studio to do that.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
I'm going to bar the door, Nelly.
We're here with RCP Director Brad Schoen this morning on In Focus. We talked a lot about the firing range, and I think you did want to mention that in Monday's law board meeting. It'll also be addressed there.
Yeah, it's on the agenda for the law board meeting on Monday. We'll be talking about it with the board. I think I said this earlier. Ultimately, the board has done what it's supposed to do already, and that is notify the county that there's a facility issue by virtue of sending that letter several years ago. That said, they have a good amount of curiosity about this, and rightfully so, because, I mean, they oversee the police department, and this range issue has an impact on the police department. So, it probably would be my preference to talk to them about it first, but honestly, it's already out there because it's a BOCC issue. Everybody knows we went out there and looked around yesterday. So there's lots of questions and thoughts, I'm sure, about it. And while it had been my preference to go to them before we, start having all these public discussions, it just doesn't work that way sometimes. And much better, I think, to have a discussion now here with you and get information out there so the public can start digesting this a little bit, than to hold it until my next time I show up out here a month later, having already then talked about it at the law board. So anyway, we're going to talk about it with them and get them up to speed, what's going on, and see what they think about it, and then we'll go from there.
Any other big agenda items on Monday's law board?
Budget. That's kind of a big agenda item. It's an exceedingly boring one, but it's a big one. We'll be working on setting the 19 budget for the year. We're going to give them a presentation that will consist of just the personnel side of our budget, which honestly is, I think, like 88% of our budget. Most of what we do is personnel stuff. So when you look at our overall budget, 88% of it is personnel, and then that minor amount that's left, that 12% funds everything else we do, from buying cars to paper to toilet paper to for the inmates. I mean, it's everything goes into that 12%. insurance, copy machines, you name it. So we're going to give them a presentation on the personnel side of the budget. We're going to give them a presentation on the personnel side of the budget Monday. And then the following month at our meeting, we're going to give them the non-personnel side and kind of tie the two together for them so they can look at, in total, what it is we're suggesting we need to be considering for 2019. And then we're going to see where they end up with that. Typically, the way this works is we give them our initial pitch about what we think. They ask for some more input on stuff. We go back. We do some more development, blah, blah, blah. The long and the short of it is we work our way through that process, I think, pretty quickly in recent years by virtue of having adopted this system whereby we give them a certain limited number of options available, and they can just kind of choose a la carte what they want to do, and they can know as they choose roughly the impact that's going to have on the budget. It seems to make it a lot clearer than just going through debating every single line item. So now what we do is we give them a picture in total of what it's going to look like if they pick certain options, having already made the adjustments on the line items for them for each of those options. So we'll have that discussion. That'll probably take a bit.
That time of year. It's getting that time of year for budgets.
It's kind of like Christmas. Yeah.
Kind of.
Except that there's no presents and not everybody's smiling.
Right. For all local government entities.
Oh, sure. That time of year. Everybody's getting cranked up.
Let's go back and kind of look at Fake Patty's Day. It was a couple weekends ago, and always a busy time for local law enforcement. And it seems like from a lot of reports that everything went pretty smooth for the most part, considering. I think EMS had lower numbers. Everybody was pretty
It's kind of interesting. My son happened to be in town the weekend after Fake Patty's Day. By the way, for the purpose of the discussion, it's FPD. We're just going to start calling it FPD. He said, "How'd it go?" And I said, "Well, I went pretty good." He said, "So what does pretty good look like?" I said, "Well, we had about 48 arrests, a little over 500 citations, and he just started laughing at me. He said, "That's good." And it occurred to me then, you know, I have this saying I use. It's kind of like boiling a frog. If you, I don't know if you ever heard this saying. The theory is if you put a frog in a pot of cold water, and I've never tested this, let's be clear. Put a frog in a pot of cold water on a stove and turn the heat up really slowly, the frog won't know that it's being boiled alive. Well, I think this is, it's kind of that way with Fake Patty's Day. To us, that's normal.
And we're a frog's like, green. Yeah, so
hey,
works.
We're happy. Yeah. You know, we got through it without any major crisis. We only arrested 48 people and wrote 513 citations. Well, yeah, it was busy. It's always busy. To my knowledge, nobody was seriously hurt physically. And I'm going to call it generally a success. I think there were some areas of concern that we'll probably have to take up for next year. I know there are some humongous parties that started building in the area north of Aggieville, parties that caused us some concern and basically occupying whole blocks. As it turns out, I mean, it wasn't, and when I say parties, I don't mean to imply that there was one big party in the whole block. What I'm saying is there are a lot of parties in that block that eventually all just grew together and became one big event. so I don't know that we'd ever seen anything quite like that. I mean, it's been close a couple of times in the past, but that was mildly disconcerting, so we're going to have to give some thought to what to do about those sorts of situations and maybe keep an eye on it and start trying to deal with those sooner instead of later. But generally speaking, I think this pattern that's developed over the last few years has been consistent. I have a crime analyst doing some work right now to determine whether it got worse in 18 or stayed consistent with 17. And by it, I mean taking a look at the difference between Aggieville and the neighborhoods. I know there's some concern, I think, by commissioners that they may want to do something to try to resolve those issues in the neighborhoods, or at least to keep them under control or tamp them down to the extent that they can, and maybe refocus it more on the Aggieville area. I'm not sure exactly how you do something like that, but you don't know if you need to do it until you take a look at the numbers. So one of the things we're trying to put together right now is an analysis to see whether the neighborhood situation has continued to, for lack of a better term, deteriorate over the course of the last 5 years, or whether it's remained relatively consistent. But but it was busy. It was busy.
And I can imagine when it comes to the neighborhood issue, when it comes to just control and what you can control, that just gets a little more difficult in gray area because you're dealing with a lot of private property opposed to around the Aggieville area where it's kind of more
sure
a higher percentage of public property that you have a little more jurisdiction.
Well, public property and even that property which is private has licensing regulations that are controlled by the state. And by when I say private properties have licensing regulations, I'm talking about, you know, bars. They have to let the cops in. Well, it's not that way at a private
residential
private party. Yeah. But, you know, the difficult part of maybe trying to just transplant all that neighborhood activity to Aggieville is, let's be honest, I mean, I've been doing this a long time. The reason a lot of people don't go to Aggieville is because they're not supposed to be drinking in the bars. They don't want to get in trouble down there. So what they do is they drink at the private parties and then go to Aggieville after they've consumed at the private parties. So I'm not sure exactly how you'd go about luring those people to Aggieville who know that they can't go down there and drink when they're going to be drinking illegally by virtue of their age. So, I don't know. We'll have to see where it goes. But in terms of operations, I was relatively pleased with how it went. Even given the activity level, I think probably it went about as well as could be expected.
And kind of an event that just really kind of just continues to evolve. I was part of the Wildcat 91.9 the first year we started Fake Patty's Day.
So you're to blame for this.
Well, I wasn't a part of the planning. I was on the staff of the station. I think I went to one of the bars for a promotional event because we only had like two bars at the time. And it's just, you know, when you talk about how neighborhood parties have gotten bigger, I think you've noticed that more since Aggieville's done wristbands, and it's kind of a more expensive event to do it in Aggieville because those first 4 or 5 years,
yeah,
it was just kind of open sesame, and you just kind of went wherever and
wherever you wanted
to concentrate in Aggieville. Then
somebody's going to have to explain that wristband thing to me. They had that whole big booth set up in Aggieville. They were still selling wristbands at 1 a.m. And there were people buying it. I'm thinking to myself, what do those things cost? Do you know? What were they?
Sometimes they're around like $20-$25.
Yeah, I think maybe the price went up. But even if it's $20 or $25, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. The bars close at 2.
Although,
you're standing at you don't get to cut the line.
Right.
Because everybody now has the bands. I don't see it. Somebody's got to explain it to me.
Although this Fake Patty's Day, they lost an hour. Didn't they lose an hour this week? Wasn't that the daylight?
Well, the daylight savings time changed at 2. It changed to 3. At 2 o'clock is when the time change occurs. And at 2 o'clock, the bars close anyway.
Okay. Okay, so that didn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt them in the spring.
But, that makes sense. Let's go ahead and take our last break of the hour. We'll come back and talk about some scams that the RCPD has wants to make people aware of, and quite a few of them. We'll go over those, close out In Focus here on News Radio KMAN.